which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus, again, he has said this in other places like Matthew chapter 10. Fear not them which can kill the body, but him which is able to destroy the soul. And here he says exactly where. To cast into hell. And now here is one of those places where I think it's very unfortunate that our English translation translates 2 words with 1 word. The word hell, which is earlier used in Luke, you know, thou Capernaum which art exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell, is Hades, the grave. And here it is, the Gehenna, which was this valley outside of Jerusalem where they would burn garbage. It was a place of utter destruction. You know, nothing was alive in Gehenna. It was a place of corruption and total death and utter loss. The reason Jesus does not use Hades is because men have power to cast you into Hades. That's the point, is there's Hades and there's Gehenna. The first death is Hades. The second death is Gehenna. And it answers to the lake of fire in the book of Revelation. It is the place where the souls go to be destroyed, as he said in Matthew. So we don't want to misunderstand that this hell is the hell spoken of before, because men have the power to send you to hell. They sent Jesus to hell. Yeah. He went into hell. Thou shalt not leave his soul in hell. He was in the grave, Hades, hell. And the New Testament uses that word Hades not to mean the place where the god of the underworld lives, where Satan lives. That's all a confusion of mythology. When they the understanding of hell is like these confused mythologies all woven together in a tapestry of utter deceit. Hades refers to the underworld of this world, underground, in the place of darkness, and of no, there's no thoughts. It's absolutely quiet. And they dwell there in silence. And their thoughts perish, as it is written. But this is Gehenna, where the souls go to die. Now, in Hades, the souls are asleep. At least that's what God says. That's the way Jesus treats it. He says the day is coming when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. They're going to awaken. As Jesus would speak of people who are dead, I will awake them from sleep. You know, the first death is likened to sleep because God awakes people out of it. But the second death is not likened to sleep. It is the big sleep. It is the permanent snuff out. And therefore it is not like sleep in that we awake from sleep. In the first death, men may awake from, but the second death shall no one awake from. 5 sparrows are sold for 2 farthings. Not one of them is forgotten before God. God sees, you know, whenever I see a dead bird, a little baby dead bird, or some sort of dead bird, I think about it, this verse, that God saw that. He saw that happen. You know, a storm comes through and kills a bird or something, and God sees it. Every little bird that falls to the ground, God sees. He knows. It doesn't escape his notice. He isn't oblivious to it. And that is enough for me, to know that God is not oblivious to the death and destruction that happens. He subjected this creation to vanity and hope. The reason the creation is subjected to this evil is God has hope in this time. It waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. God has numbered the very hairs of our head. And he's speaking to his disciples. To you, my friends, he says. I say to you, my friends, don't be afraid. To the others, be afraid. But to you, you know, the multitudes are pressing about, and Jesus turns inwardly to his disciples. He says to his disciples, beware. You know, these are things, people are pressing, and he's healing people in these situations oft times. It doesn't say here, but I'm thinking of the other occasions where they're bringing to him all their sick, and there's multitudes pressing him, and his disciples are in close. And he's saying to them things, important things, beware of this. And because of the disjointed nature of this discourse, I see it as given in this crowd of people. You know, there's a Sermon on the Mount, and this is similar to it in many ways, but this is also the sermon from the crowd. And so, in a crowd, who can hear anything except those that are the closest? The very hairs of our head are numbered. And God values us more than many sparrows. If He sees their fall, He sees the hairs of our head, which we cut away without a thought. He has a number for each one. Therefore, He knows the trouble we are in. Because hair is nothing. It's of little value. What is hair? It clogs drains. But as it's clogging the drain, God sees it. And He says, number 463 million. So considering that, how much more of value do you think are your troubles to Him? That's why He says, cast your cares upon Me. So I want to do. I feel like all the things that trouble me in life, I need to give them over to God. In the sense of trust Him that He's taking care of my situation and that things will be all right. He likes to see us. You know, sometimes He brings, you know, like you think about the time when they were in the ship on the sea and the waves were roaring and they feared. God brings us into those places and shows us how He'll save us in those places. So that then, in the little things, we can really trust Him. And when we show ourselves faithful in the little things, and practice ourselves being faithful in those little things, and trusting in Him, then we know we will trust Him in those difficult situations too, when the really difficult situations come. Sometimes He brings little things on us that aren't really dangerous, but that cause us to fear. So that when really fearful things come, after having been practiced, we'll know to trust God. And this is all very important, because if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how will you contend with horses? If men running have wearied you and you can't run with them, then how will you run with horses? If the little things are too much, how are you going to contend with the real tests that come? God is watching over us and preparing us all. So be of good courage, be of good cheer. Verse 8, and also I say to you, whosoever shall confess Me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth Me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But to him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost shall it not be forgiven. You know, Peter actually denied Christ 3 times. Does that exclude him from the kingdom? Is God going to deny him before the angels? Well, it could be, but not, because God's mercy was towards Peter. And I say with all those sort of things, you know, all sins shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit